disrupt. Never know who it is who locks the car doors. This one's always open because it's always broken. I'm getting my gloves. I tend to leave my gloves. Advantageously, at least so I think. I think, oh, I should leave them in the car because I may go somewhere and it will be cold and I'll need them and I will have forgotten them. And then it's cold at home and I wander around looking for my gloves until I remember. I wonder, was I being smart with the gloves? Always outsmarting myself. And probably I lock the car door as well. Passenger door that was locked. Not quite sure why. That's my go-to door. Why would I go to the passenger door first? I'm mildly sick, if you can't tell. Mildly ill. Mildly ill. Feel all right, just when you get old, you're always sick. Age itself is sickness, and then all these other maladies creep onto your back. It's a pile on. Look, he's down. All the other illness, sickness, viruses, bacteria, every sort of germ, every kind of doom and death. Swarming around us in the air at all times. Diphtheria over there. See a bit of hantavirus above the hill. It's just how it is. You can walk right into a big cloud of bird flu. And the right sort of chemical combination inside your body or whatever, and you don't get it. You don't succumb, but be old. All the different diseases and maladies see you from miles off and they come swimming and flying and festering toward you. I had the urge to say, Bob's your uncle. I never get to say that. I never get to say, Bob's your uncle. I long to. I wanted to imagine some particular bacterium, a swarm of bacterium spying me from the distance and explaining. An elderly bacterium explaining to the younger bacteria what exactly you do when you see an old person. You swarm towards him, jump on his back, and Bob's your uncle. Because that old person, they've got no immunity. They can't say keep off, keep out. Can't lock the door when you get home. Everything just comes right in. An old blousy screen. Now today was a cold day. It's one of those relenting days. Where winter seems to rejuvenate itself just for a moment. So we've had this kind of medium spell of upper 40s, some 50s, maybe hinting towards 60s in the merriest of moments. And then today, it all slammed down, bone cold. And perhaps that's why I'm out. Coldness draws me. Like a question. The coldness arrives and I'm drawn out. I wonder what... It's like an explosion in the distance that I'm going off to ponder. You may wonder where I've been. I've been where I am, where I always am. Doing this and that. Writing, thinking, wondering. That's mostly what I do. Then there are these periods of transition. Silent transition. And occasionally I transition to exactly the same place. As though I get in the car to take a great voyage. I take that great voyage, I get out of the car, and I haven't left. I feel in some ways that I'm on in some transition. I haven't yet gotten out of the car. I haven't yet arrived. That's my silence. And I'm transiting. I don't exactly know what to say about it. How to put it, explain it. Do you transit? Long, long ago, I used to listen to the radio and this fellow had a show, AM radio it was. I used to listen as I painted my house. I turned on this radio that I found, and there was this show. I painted the house, the shutters. I listened. I didn't even change the channel. Couldn't make out the dial anyway. I could only turn up the volume and turn it down. He talked about mostly politics, which I'm not interested in, but he had a particular type of mind, a very keen type of mind. He was hyper-articulate. And his show began at 10 or 11 and went to 2. And when it came around to the noon time hour, he would say, "Well, we're about to transit the meridian." Every day, either before or during or after, he would mention the transiting of the meridianing. We're transiting the meridian. Suddenly it felt as though we were all on some great voyage, on a boat on the sea. I could picture lines in the sky and the sun passing over them. Something fell in the wood, or something was in the wood. A lot of startling in the world. A lot of stars in the sky, and a lot of startling on the earth. You may have heard or noticed, or maybe you didn't, Mr. Roy Harter and I have put out some songs under the curious name Oddy Clone. It's no use asking why. No use. No one has so far asked why. I'm very thankful for that. I'm most often thankful for not things, things that haven't arisen. Arisen, arose. It's a curious album, I think. 12 songs that we put together over the course of a year. 16 months, maybe, very casually. every once in a while, something would seem interesting and we would work on it. And then a month might pass, silence, and then we would set to work again. We had no expectation or thought. Not really, we thought eventually we'll throw something out there. But I think neither one of us had a sense of faith about it, or disbelief, neither thing. We simply did it as it came, and then when we were done, said, "We are done." Neither of us would have been shocked if it had entirely evaporated. I've been reading David Mitchell. Have you read David Mitchell? He's most well known for Cloud Atlas, and he may well be most well known for the film adaptation. I began to read The Thousand Odoms of Jacob de Zoet. I read the first 10 pages possibly 14 separate times. I couldn't get beyond it. I couldn't understand it. It wouldn't stick in my brain. So I got the book when it came out because it caught me somehow. I don't often buy books, especially fresh new books, but it caught me something about it, and but I struggled. It happens. Some things fight you, they won't let you in. This was one. So I started it maybe once a month, read 10 pages, put it down, put it away, next month try again, because there was something I knew. Whatever had compelled me to purchase it in the first place remained. Even as I was rebuffed time after time, I knew eventually this was a thing that I would push into my body. I would eat this book if it came to it. And then by chance I saw the film Cloud Atlas, and perhaps because I knew or felt I knew the story and I was curious about the way it would have been handled in the book, I was curious about the mechanics, how the book went from the structure that it had to the structure of the film, what might have been changed, altered. And also it seemed like it must be a miraculous book, and it is. I read that, Cloud Atlas, and that allowed me to move very quickly into The Thousand Autumns, because I knew that David Mitchell was, if not the most talented writer and storyteller of our time, then one of them. No question. So Cloud Atlas allowed me to very, very easily sing into The Thousand Autumns, which I think I loved even more than Cloud Atlas, something I thought impossible, which there was a sadness I felt going from Cloud Atlas to Thousand Autumns, because I felt like I so thoroughly enjoyed and was enriched and moved by this, that I it must be a down step. I cannot be more fulfilled than this. Not that he would need to top it, but I did not think that possible, and yet he did. It is a mildly difficult book. Both books, I'm sure, are mildly difficult. But the writing is so spectacular. The voicings, the characters. It's astonishing to me. You read it, after you've gotten a good bit in, at some point you realize, oh, so this is what a book is supposed to be. This is how a great writer is. And it makes everyone else seem rather simple. You wonder why anyone else is writing, when this is actually what you're supposed to do, or this is the way it can be done. And so now I'm going back. I have this semi-sweet desire that a new novel appear, a new David Mitchell novel appear at any moment now. Thousand Autumns came out in 2010. Cloud Atlas, perhaps 2006. So it feels like 3-4 years. Might be his rate of production. So, no new novel. I go back in time to Black Swan Green. I don't know what that is, 2003, 2002. Entirely different. Each of his books is entirely different. The only thing that brings them together is mastery. If you read each book and they had no author, the only thing that you might say is, each one of these books was written by a master. I don't think you'd be shocked to learn they were the same master. Because you're already stunned. He's a stunning writer. Because he does so many things so exquisitely well. So many things. You realize how many different things there are. Even his tiny asides can be philosophically enlightening. The smallest descriptions of a person completely bring you to who that person is. Ways that you never imagined. And yet very simple, often. And very clear. He's not outrageous or extremely eccentric. He's not fancy. And yet he is. He's entirely natural and completely bizarre. And he seems a very sweet-souled person. I feel it is impossible, that in real life he is loathsome. He must be lovely. In real life also he has a stammer. And most stammerers are lovely. They must be. Because they've had to endure that small world that's created by their stammer. They live on the moon with their stammer. And that creates a kind of love. The way the moon loves the earth. Stammerers love its people. Or hate, I suppose. The perfect mixture. So there it is. Odiclone. Music to listen to if you like. David Mitchell. Books to read. I can't recommend highly enough. Are they difficult? I don't think so. But yes, I do. Both. I would simply say persevere. I give novels a 50-page test. 50 pages. Seems like a lot, but it's a few hours. If someone has recommended something strongly enough, 50 pages. If no one has recommended it, and you don't know why you're reading it, except because you like the cover, or it feels good, 50 pages. Always 50 pages. Now, I don't follow that rule myself, as my 10-page Thousand Autumn repeat attempts will attest to, but I kept the mantra in my head, 50 pages. So I kept returning with that goal in mind, as though I'm not going to give up on this after 10 pages. So I'll reread those 10 and I'll push on for another 40. And if he hasn't cut me by then, well, by God, it's the inferno with you. David Mitchell, lovely fellow. Married to a Japanese woman, lives in Ireland, born in Britain. 2 children, stammer. He's an unofficial member of Odiclone, by the way. He's our clarinetist.
These city boys wrap their arms around every girl that was meant for me. Don't cross me out, 'cause I'm working for the higher ups and the powers that be. I show you my hands on the wheel and all the photographs of famous people. Look right beside them, that's me. Oh, now come, my sweet, stroll over the moonshot land. I know, my sweet, I'm half of a moonshot man. When you fall asleep, hold tight to my moonlit hand. I'll tie your hair. I know, my sweet, I'm happy. moon shining.